Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Load into the chat. Today's a very special day. I barely realized that it is devotional day. So this is day number 60, which is very, very exciting. We're on day 60, or you could say we're 60/90 of the way there, or 30/45 of the way there, or 20/30 of the way there, or 12/18 of the way there, or 10/15, or 6/9, or 4/6 of the way there, or we're two-thirds of the way there. So yeah, you know, I've been helping my daughter with fractions. So, you know, we got all the fractions here reduced down to two-thirds. We're two-thirds of the way done with the Bible in 90 days. Day 60 out of 90. Really appreciate it, guys. So here's what we're going to do. We did this last time on day 30. There's three breaks: day 30, day 60, and day 90, which is good because on day 90, we'll recap. But we're going to recap from day 30 to day 60. This will be like probably 10 minutes. It will not be a long day. Maybe a little bit longer. I don't know. It'll be around 10 minutes. But we are going to recap because it's a break day. And rather than take a break day and there'd be like no video, no live, it looks weird, it feels weird. You guys liked it last time. So we're going to recap all the books we've been over, kind of put a bow on them so that we can move on to the last segment of our 90 day, or the last month of our 90 day challenge, which is sad. Type one in the chat if you're sad right now that we only have one-thirds of the way there left to go. One-third. In 10 days, we start the New Testament. I'm so excited about that. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be like, I could actually just read normal and not have to try to pronounce all these crazy names. All right. So now that we know that we are 60/90 of the way there, or two-thirds of the way there, we are going to start from day 30 to day 60. Recap all the books. The first book was 1 Chronicles. This was written by Ezra. And the key verse is 1 Chronicles 16:34, which says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." This was an extensive genealogy. Do you guys remember this? We opened with an extensive genealogy, traces Israel's lineage all the way back to Adam. Y'all remember the audio that I did there? Because I just could not say all those names. That's 1 Chronicles. It's all about the king. It's all about King David's reign. It emphasizes David's heart for worship. It talks about him preparing construction for the temple, and it's the organization of the priesthood and the Levites. That is 1 Chronicles. It's all about legacy and remembrance and true leadership, being marked by humility and be marked by worship. It's also about preparation mattering, because although David wasn't allowed to build the temple, his groundwork for preparing the building of the temple was crucial. So that is Ezra. And we can learn in our lives that we should, you know, have order in our lives, and we should do groundwork, and we should labor. And even if we don't finish the task, at least we can start. At least we can help. There are a lot of times in life where you're not going to finish the task, but you're going to help build. That's 1 Chronicles. Which leads us into 2 Chronicles. This was also written by Ezra. Key verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray." That's one of the most famous verses in the Bible. And that is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It continues the story of the kings of Judah. It spotlights on temple worship, revival, and reform. It talks about Solomon building the temple. It's his prayer, his dedication. It's also going through the rise and fall of various kings. And it tells us that we should worship the Lord like Hezekiah and Josiah, not the wicked kings. How many wicked kings do we see? A lot of them. Key points and key lessons is revival begins with returning to God. If we want revival, we have to return to the Lord. That's what the book is about. Leadership matters. We need to honor God and be humble and repent and turn to God like some of the leaders did, and not worship idols like many of the other leaders did. Okay, that leads us into Ezra. Guess who the author is? Type it in the chat. Ezra. Wow, how'd you know? Ezra 8:31 is our key verse. "The hand of our God was on us and he protected us." I love that verse. It continues on, but I just wanted to read that main part. This was Ezra leading the second wave of exiles that were returning to Egypt. It covers the rebuilding of the temple and the reestablishment of God's law. Ezra is a priest and a scribe. He's very passionate about holiness and spiritual renewal to the people of Israel that turned from the Lord, and he's bringing them back here. It's all about reformation. It's powerful. Okay. God's faithful to restore. That's the lesson we learn. Then we go into Nehemiah. Nehemiah 8:10 is the key verse. "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Nehemiah hears of Jerusalem's broken walls, and he responds with prayer, fasting, and action. He starts rallying up leaders. He's a man of courage. He gets the people together and says, we're going to rebuild the wall. Even though people don't want us to, even though people are trying to kill us, we are going to rebuild the wall. That is the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a builder. It's all about prayer as well. Prayer is foundational. What Nehemiah teaches us is that before we take action, we should always pray. Amen. Then we go into Esther. We don't know the author of Esther historically, but the key verse is Esther 4:14. And who knows that maybe you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. That's powerful. I love that. Perhaps another translation says, perhaps you're made queen for such a time as this. This is your moment, Esther. Esther is a Jewish woman. She becomes queen in Persia and begins to intercede for her people because there's a plot of annihilation. And so she intercedes, she prays, and then she goes before the king when she thought that he would kill her. She goes before and pleads for her people. Very, very powerful. Interesting point of Esther is God's name is never mentioned in Esther, yet we see God all throughout the book of Esther. What do we learn from that, chat? That although we don't see the name of God in anywhere in Esther, we know that God is working behind the scenes, that God is orchestrating deliverance even when the Lord seems silent. What is he doing? He's orchestrating deliverance in the background. That's a lesson for all of you. Key lesson, courage and obedience can change history. Amen. You're not an accident, ladies and gentlemen. God has put you where you are for a reason. One of my favorite verses is that perhaps you were there for such a time as this. And that goes for every single one of us. I'm saying this so fast, it's like I'm racing the clock, but I'm not racing the clock. All right, next into Job, one of my favorite books in the Bible. Job 1:21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't know the author of Job. This is widely believed to be the oldest book of the Bible, not the first book of the Bible, but the oldest book. So the first book written in the Bible. Job is a righteous man. He suffers great loss and trials. And the book is all about the question of suffering. The question of justice. It's the nature of God. Job and his friends arguing back and forth. And at the end of all their arguing, Job has a conversation with God. What a powerful book. And God basically says, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? You think you're so big and bad and you know it all, but Job, you are clueless when it comes to the mysteries of creation. Very powerful. It also teaches us that suffering is not always a result of personal sin and that God's ways are higher than ours. Praise the Lord for that. We might not understand our pain, but we can trust God no matter what we're going through. Job, if you're going through something, read the book of Job and you'll be like, my problems are nothing. All right, that leads us into Psalms. There's a lot of authors of Psalms, David, Asaph, and the sons of Korah, and many others. Most famous Psalms is probably Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a collection of 150 poetic songs and prayers that go through the range of every human emotion from joy, celebration, grief, despair. It teaches us how to worship, teaches us how to rejoice, trust in God, lament, all of that. Okay, it's raw, it's vulnerable, and it's powerful no matter in the highs or in the lows. Praise is powerful. That's what we learn from Psalms. No matter what you're going through, there's a psalm for it. Okay, no matter what you're going through in life, you will find a psalm and say, I'm going through that. And then we go into Proverbs, again, one of my favorite books in the Bible. I know I say that about every book, but the Bible's awesome. This was a Solomon with several other authors. Proverbs 9:10, chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. It's a wisdom book. It's tons of wise sayings, aka Proverbs, that gives you practical advice on finances, how you should talk, how you should work, decision-making, relationships, marriage, dealing with lust. I mean, literally everything you can imagine is in the book of Proverbs. It's all about applying wisdom to your everyday life. Wisdom is not about knowledge alone. It's about applying knowledge. That's literally what wisdom is. It's the application of knowledge. Then we go into Ecclesiastes, who is written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. This is written by a man who had everything in life, yet found it all to be meaningless without God. This is like a very philosophical book where he's reflecting on how fleeting life is, how quickly life is passing by. Very melancholy, but powerful book nonetheless. Basically, the whole idea is if you chase pleasure, you're going to end up empty because pleasure is meaningless. The only thing worth chasing in life is God. Then we go into Song of Solomon, which made me blush when I read it. This was written by Solomon. Key verse is Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. It's a passionate, poetic dialogue between two lovers. That's the entire book. It's love, it's desire, it's marital intimacy, amen. And some people say it's an allegory for Christ and the church. I do not think that's what it is. What you see in the Song of Solomon, the sexual intimacy, it has nothing about Christ being intimate with his bride. That's not the way that works. And if you think that is, then it's okay. But it's love is powerful. And I don't know, what do I say? God designed sex. Sex is good. God made it. It's good in the bounds of marriage. Sex becomes bad when it becomes outside of marriage, but sex in marriage is an amazing, beautiful thing that God created, and there's nothing wrong with pleasure. So yeah, it's all about intimacy, covenant relationship, love, and sex. Then we go into the book of Isaiah. Author is Isaiah, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. So one of the most famous chapters in Isaiah is Isaiah 9. And then we see the suffering Savior, Isaiah 53, and so on. Isaiah is delivering a message of judgment for rebellious and people that have worshipped idols and turned from God. So he's a prophet. He's coming and prophesying of the future kingdom. Lots of prophecies of Jesus. A lot of talk about holiness, about the justice of God, the mercy of God, and then ultimately the Messiah coming as a suffering servant and a reigning king. So powerful book. Some people call it a mini Bible because it's 66 chapters and it kind of shadows the Old Testament and New Testament. Incredibly powerful book. That leads us into Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11, you probably know it. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. We all know the verse. That's the most famous book there. Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet. He's constantly speaking judgment because the people have sinned. It's a heartbreaking message of coming judgment due to Judah's unfaithfulness. But it also talks about a new covenant that God was beginning with them. It's a sad book. It's constant judgment. It's constant. These people have turned from sin. And yeah, there's many places where God says, Jeremiah, stop praying for them because I'm not hearing your prayers. I've turned from these people. It's a warning for us not to turn to idols. And that leads us into where we are now. Look, I did that in 11 minutes. Are you proud of me, chat? Leads us where we are now, Lamentations. This was written by Jeremiah, Lamentations 3:22. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. This is a poetic lament mourning the destruction of Israel. Sorrow, pain, and the consequences of sin, yet there's hope in the mercy of God. But this is a lament, Lamentations. It's a grieving. Lament is a form of worship. Lamenting is like a grieving type of worship. That's what it is. It's in the darkest hour, God still sees you. His mercy is still there for you. And that's what we're going to continue on tomorrow at 2:00. So rather than taking a break today, I thought I would jump on here, give you guys a recap. I've done the Bible, entire Bible in 60 minutes before. If you want to see the entire Bible in this style or recap style, I usually do like a minute per book. You can go to my channel and type in Bible in 60 minutes and you'll find the entire Bible I lay out in 60 minutes, which is a great resource for you. But nonetheless, I'm excited to be on this journey with you guys. I appreciate you being here and engaging. Again, didn't want to take a break. I wanted to recap. We'll do another recap on day 90 and then some type of special celebration or whatever. I'm blessed, guys. I'm blessed by this and I'm grateful that God has given me the strength and the endurance to continue doing this and that we've just been able to do this every day. It just worked, you know? Didn't make sense in our schedule, but I thought, let's just do it and we're doing it and I'm excited. I want to thank Jared as well for doing every Monday. Shout out to you, Jared. Always in the chat. Thanks, bro. And thank you for doing Mondays. And then my mom has been helping on Fridays and then sometimes on the weekend as well. So thanks to my mom as well. And then Alyssa will probably jump on here soon now that she's recovered from her surgery. But anyway, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. We have a podcast tonight. So I'm going to get off and get ready for that. 6 p.m. X-Witch exposes the occult and darkness and talks about how she got saved after being in witchcraft for almost 10 years. You don't want to miss that tonight. It's a powerful testimony. It's going to be great with Ashley Jones. So I'll see you guys tonight at 6:00 on the podcast. Same place right here in 4 hours. Be back in 4 hours. I'll see you guys tonight. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.